A reading from the Gospel of Luke. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Wow. Today we are continuing our sermon series, which is based on the book Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations, written 10 years ago by Bishop Robert Schnese. The five practices are prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And looking at each of these areas during the period of Lent allows us to reflect more deeply on our faith, our relationship with Jesus, and how we can grow deeper within each of these key aspects of our Christian lives. Reverend Kathy covered the first two areas, radical hospitality and passionate worship, and last week Pastor Mark explored international faith development. The focus for us today is risk-taking mission and service. For Bishop Schnese, mission is vital for congregations who want to be fruitful, because beyond changing the lives of the people who receive the assistance, the lives of the volunteers are also changed. And hence, the church itself will grow and develop, altering and adapting as the lives of its members are affected by the work they are undertaking. Bishop Schnese points out that the interweaving of lives across culture, class, color, and age boundaries genuinely enriches the congregation and makes scripture stories come alive in real experience. God strengthens the body of Christ through mission and service, and God empowers the body of Christ through witness. So last time I traveled to England to visit my family, I had the pleasure of hosting a friend from here in California for part of the trip. And we spent a few days up in the City of London. Something I don't generally do because it's crowded, expensive, and as it was January, incredibly cold. However, we had some fun days exploring the city and made good use of the tube, which is the underground transportation system. It's been a while since I traveled on the underground in London, although during my first working days, I commuted daily to various locations in the city and West End. The tube opened in 1863, and after 100 years of operation, they noticed that people were having a lot of accidents when they were getting on and off the trains. So the authorities realized that this was a bit of a problem and not really a great advertisement for the use of their services. So they launched the Mind the Gap campaign. At some places in the system of the tube, the gap between the train and the platform is as large as 12 inches. When the tube is busy or you're carrying luggage or shepherding children around, it's hard to navigate it safely. And so in addition to posters and signs on the train and stations, a voice announces loudly and regularly to mind the gap. This contrasts greatly with the announcements here in LA on the Metro, where the very polite announcement asks you, for your safety, please be careful when exiting the train. These days, a woman's voice is used in London, but in the years when I was a regular traveler there, the voice was male and sounded exactly like my stepfather. Now, he was a very strict parent, and we weren't close. So it was disconcerting, annoying, and frustrating that having left home and joined the adult world, I heard his voice every morning warning me to proceed with caution as I made my way to work. But since the launch of this campaign, Mind the Gap has become a rallying cry for many different areas in life. In addition to reminding us to be careful, it is now used to draw our attention to places and situations in our lives where there is a gap or there is something missing. Minding the Gap has become a slogan for those who want to inspire others to be aware of those gaps, to take care of those gaps, and to be the instrument of change for those who are on the other side of the gap. A gap is a divide between two things, places, people, or situations. And we look for Jesus to fill the gaps in the world, but Jesus is looking to us to do this work. When we are willing to stand in the gap on behalf of someone else, we fulfill our duty and mission to mind or take care of that gap for others. Our reading today places Jesus back in his hometown of Nazareth, the home of his family, the town where he played, grew, and attended the temple there. Services in the temple at that time followed a particular pattern: the reading of the Shema, prayers and responses, readings from scripture, a sermon, and a benediction. Any male present could be asked to read or to give a sermon, and their participation was generally requested before the service began. At this particular service, though, Jesus volunteers to read and selects the text for himself, choosing the words which had already been associated with the coming of the Messiah, the one everyone was waiting for. Once he had read, Jesus took a seat, looked around the room, and told those present that today that scripture had been fulfilled. Quite a courageous move. Jesus is telling his own people, those who have known him all of his life, that from now on they were to view him differently. No longer was he the village carpenter, the son of Joseph and Mary, but he is the Messiah and has come here to tell the good news to the poor, to liberate the oppressed, and to live out this radical mission in their midst. All they could do was sit and look at him. No one dared to speak or move. They were fixated on Jesus and the message he had just revealed to them. And this message wasn't necessarily good news for all those present in the temple that day, or for many others of that time. The economic structures of their world were about to be turned upside down. And those who were not poor, ill, oppressed, imprisoned, or in any way suffering from those very structures were not sure that this turning upside down was going to be of benefit to them. The text offers us a view of Luke's central theme and perspective for the gospel and the life and works of Jesus. Luke implies that Jesus particularly chose to read this text from the book of Isaiah in order to emphasize his ministry to the poor and outcast. For Luke, the centrality of Jesus' mission was for liberation of the poor, the impoverished, and the oppressed. And this was the most important part of the ministry of Jesus. For Luke, the ceremony and rituals of the current practices are not what is important for those trying to live their lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. Acts of social justice and compassion take front and center stage. This text gives us the mission statement of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke has placed this story at the beginning of his gospel, the message being vital and central to his account of Jesus. It follows from the descriptions of the baptism of Jesus and the temptation in the wilderness, both of which portray the work of the Holy Spirit in empowering Jesus and preparing him for the mission ahead, the mission to the poor, the oppressed, and all of those who need a new beginning. Jesus was there to mind the gaps, to stand in the places where there was a disparity, to bridge the gap and make a difference to those who were on the other side, to take care of those who were unable to find relief from their own situations, and to make sure that each and everyone knew that they were beloved children of God. So today for us, knowing what our mission is and understanding all we have been given by God and how that helps us in fulfilling our mission are just as important as they were to Jesus. We too need to mind the gaps, to find the places in our world where these gaps are, to stand in them, to shout out from them, to help build the bridges across them which are so vital to the others who exist on the far side of that gap. Tom Harvey, a Presbyterian minister, preached that mission catches you up in the life and vitality of God, for it is God who relentlessly draws men and women towards God's self in love and compassion. Moreover, when we step away from mission, there is a corresponding depletion in the life and vitality of the church. And we see this vitality in so many of the activities we undertake here in Hollywood. Spirit Pub held a cookie bake at Christmas time, the proceeds being divided between our homeless ministry, which provides food and clothing to well over 100 people every week, and our youth department. The youth themselves, too, have worked hard in providing some amazing meals for the church, and with the money raised by them and from the Spirit Pub donation, a number of our youth this year will be attending a weekend Love in Motion eco-justice retreat in Ojai and Ventura County, where they will be involved in working with the Land Conservancy to help revitalize the areas so damaged by the Thomas Fire earlier this year. The life and vitality generated by various groups within the church, spilling over into helping those who are existing on the other side of a gap created by a natural disaster, and giving hope, love, and joy to everyone involved. And it doesn't end there. We are planning to take part in the March for Our Lives later this month on the 24th, and are having a sign-making event for this march in support of the youth in Florida who are so moved to action and creating change after worship next Sunday on the 18th. We'll also be taking part in the Pride Parade here in Los Angeles on June 11th. And sign-ups for all these activities and more are in the welcome table in the Narthex. Each of these is just a glimpse of some of the mission and services activities which we are engaged in here at HUMC. Today is designated by the United Methodist Church as UMCOR Sunday. UMCOR is the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And it's a special day where we learn about and offer support for this organization within our local context. UMCOR is the agency which provides humanitarian relief after natural disasters and human-made conflict. They are involved in projects across the globe, providing, in addition to vital relief services, healthcare and education, risk reduction, disaster response training, and assisting in global development wherever a need is identified. As an agency of the UMC, 100% of all donated funds are made available to the supported projects, with none being swallowed up for administration purposes. Some of the projects UMCOR is currently involved in include working with the National Justice for Our Neighbors organization, where they focus on advocacy and support for the dreamers affected by the ending of the DACA program. Another project is Brigades of Hope and Love, an UMCOR Puerto Rico church program which distributes food, water, cleaning supplies, and items for children in communities both served by a Methodist congregation and those who are not. The Florida Conference received over $1 million in relief aid for those affected by hurricanes. And UMCOR is actively working with churches in Puerto Rico to provide aid and support for rebuilding and alleviating the terrible suffering which continues to this day. One of the funds held by UMCOR is a general fund for Tonga, entitled Undesignated Tonga, and aimed at supporting mission work through church partners wherever there is greatest need. As you know, our beloved Ty Nelson keeps us all close to the ministries and work of Tonga. And in addition to our friend and Olympian Peter, who will be visiting with us in the next few weeks and has offered to donate one of his Olympian shirts to us for an auction so we can raise more funds to help with the mission trip we are planning to go out and help the damages caused by Tropical Cyclone Geeta, which slammed the country of Tonga on February 12th, causing extensive damages. Tonga remains in a state of emergency as they try to recover from this disaster. And during this cyclone, the Methodist Church in Mu'a lost its entire roof. We are working with UMCOR to organize a relief trip to Tonga to assist in rebuilding the church and developing our relationship with everybody who worships there. We will have more details about this in the following weeks. So I leave you today with this one thought. In God's covenant with humankind, Jesus is the non-negotiable inclusion rider. calling, leading, and directing us to be fearless, risk-taking missionaries who mind the gaps wherever we find them in this world. Amen.